I have a Theater Geeks has a Twitter account, and I have a personal one.
Well, you'll tell me afterwards, and you can show me on there, because yeah. I have no idea, but all my friends do it.
All right.
Excellent. Okay, sorry. This is when we get apart.
When you get apart, you don't want.
Oh, okay.
Is that it?
You're
when you get
apart,
but it's not the part
hearted.
You want.
Yes.
Okay, I just got to remember what that is. All right. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer.
Sorry, I was working on my computer.
And we are Theater Geeks with computers.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode is episode number 11, entitled, When You Get a Part, But It's Not the Part You Want. What do you do? Cry?
I have.
Well, I think, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I think when you go into an audition, I don't know if they're all like our audition slips that you fill out.
Right.
But it says right on there, what part are you interested in?
Right.
And you put that part down if you know what it is. And then it says, will you accept any other roles? And
right.
you either put yes or no, don't bother me, you know?
That's true. Now, maybe a lot of theaters don't do that. You walk in and you just read and the person just, you know, and the director just asks. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we do give people like, okay, what part are you auditioning for? And are you willing to accept any other part? And
right.
people will write down three or four different characters.
And if they say no, sometimes, if they say no, sometimes if you're in deep trouble casting, you'll call them anyway and say, would you consider doing this?
Yeah.
But usually if they say no, I don't, I honor that. I mean, there's a reason for that.
You're just too good.
No, but I mean, I try to honor it if I can, but you're exactly right, Marcia. Sometimes you say to yourself, I need somebody. I know this person could play this role.
Right.
I'm going to see if they'll do it. And so you make a phone call real quick, you know. Of course, we used to call everybody to let them know. And then you hear that disappointment in their voice when they say,
I could
yes
never
or
do
no.
that. I would always.
I'm not playing Sally Bowles, really?
I would always make somebody else do that. Oh, dear.
But I've started posting on our website.
That's
now.
Good.
And I encourage any directors, if they want to do that, they can just let me know what the cast list is and I'll post for them, because I it's a little bit easier. And what I'm finding now is, in this day and age of technology, it really kind of does help a person who gets cast in a role that they don't necessarily want to have that moment alone to say to themselves, no, I'm not going to take the role that they've offered, or, you know what? Yeah, this could be fun, and we're going to go ahead and do it. But it gives them a chance, and they're not assaulted on the phone, you know, like, I would like for you to take such and such a role. And then they have to make that decision almost immediately. And so,
right.
Now,
right.
are you saying you would ask them, like, if you've cast something and you've cast somebody in a role, you would let them know on your computer rather than calling them up
I
and
call
saying,
the principals.
We'd like you to play blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I call the principals, make sure all the principals will take the roles. And then from there, then I just post the cast listing.
And what do you do if somebody says yes and then turn around and think about it and say, no, I really don't want to do this?
Then
you're screwed.
You're messed up. And
oh, pardon
me. I could have a huge conversation
are.
About that.
Yeah. I know. So. Because in the heat of the moment and people think, oh, I'd really like to be a part of this production, mm-hmm. so I guess I'll do it. Then they get home and they think about rehearsal time and blah, blah, yeah. blah. And I'm not watching somebody else do the part that they really wanted to do. And they'll turn around and say, no, I've changed my mind. Or they have some excuse, like they have to go out of town on business, and therefore they
I've had the right, yeah, this should have been in our last episode of Pet Peeves.
Sorry, peeving again.
This is people who have a vacation come up about 2 weeks and say, I forgot I was going to the Bahamas
for two weeks,
right?
During a
right.
rehearsal period, and I didn't think it would be a problem. And I'm going, oh God,
you know. Yeah.
But we are off. We're kind of off topic though. But you're right.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those have been, I really don't like the part anymore. I think I'll go to the Bahamas.
You're right. No, yeah.
I'll pay anything to not do this part.
But the nice thing about cell phones is now is like, I'll just pick up the phone and call and say, where are you right now? And hopefully they'll say they're in the Bahamas.
Oh,
because
well,
if they say, well,
them.
I'm in like, I'm downtown having lunch at the deli. And it's like, you told me you were going to be in the Bahamas and that's the reason why you couldn't do this show. So why are you in downtown Elkhart right now?
Yeah,
that's right.
Well, on the plus side, I think if you're directing a show and you cast somebody that really doesn't want to do a part, you're much better off if they say no right up front, rather than having them try maybe for a week or so to bite the bullet and do something they don't want to do. You're not going to get their full attention. You're not going to get their full cooperation, whatever. I mean, and it's just in the long run, it's much better to try and go with somebody who may not be your first choice, but who eventually will be better because they really want to do it. I had that experience recently, and I cannot tell you how happy I was to go with the person that I had to call and say, would you like to do this role because someone has backed out? And it was the best thing that could have happened for our show.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think if a person doesn't have enough, I agree with you, John. I think if they put down, I don't want anything else, you should try and hold off calling them as long as you can, unless it becomes really that you have nobody else to fill that part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but now, as an actor, though, if I and this is what I would encourage a lot of actors to at least think about, especially if they get a part that they and most of the time you get a part and it's not the part you wanted. Usually, well, maybe not all the time, but usually it seems like it's because they've gotten a part that's lesser. Or it's just not the one they had their hearts set on, but or it's just a small part, you know. And I've had that happen before, and I think one of the things is you, from an attitude standpoint, first of all, it's not a career move. It's not because it's community theater, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing is that I will make it fun. I'll do the best damn street sweeper you ever saw, you know, and that's kind of. You know, the attitude that you can have. We used to have a fella that came in our old resident manager, Frank, told me that he did this all the time. He would take small parts and just polish them till they were like just little neat portions of the entire production. It was like, there he was. And he did it for me. And the first time I directed Arsenic, he came in and he got the part of Mr. Witherspoon, who comes in at the very end and is the insane asylum director, and has every obvious possibility to be a very quirky kind of person. Mm-hmm. And he took it and made it just a real jewel of a little part in that last 4 or 5 minutes of the play, and it was great. Mm-hmm. You know, it was great to have him, you know, and so I think that, you know, and he was one of these guys that was probably perfectly capable of playing someone else in the play and could have done a good job in a major part. Didn't quite fit, but that worked. And I think that that's, you know, if you're in community theater and you care about it, and I think most people who are in community theater care about it as a concept, you know, that you decide that, you know, okay, fine. I'm here to, not only am I here to be on stage and have fun, but I'm also here to help. Mm-hmm. And I can take something and make it fun and or make it interesting or make it an important part of this play and move it forward, then I'll take it and I'll do it.
Yeah, I think the downside of that, David, is if you get someone who says, okay, I'll do it, you know, and you know right, they really don't want to, then spends rehearsal time bad-mouthing the person who got the part that they want.
Oh, well, yeah, that's.
And well, then, don't, that's not so that's few the, and far that, between, that's the David.
Crap, that's yeah, the that crap side of
that.
It.
Is,
that's
that
the crap
is.
Side of that. Yep. But, you know, and then that's why you don't, that's why prima donnas say, don't live very long yes. in my cast.
No, either. No, no. And that's why if somebody says, no, I don't want anything but, you know, to play Nellie Forbush or Dolly, whatever, you don't push them.
But one of the things that I try to do is encourage people to understand that we are community theater, that every role makes you a stronger performer.
And right.
That's true.
So what I try to encourage people to is audition for a show because you want to be in a show.
Right.
Don't audition for a show because I've got to have that role. Now, if it happens that you get that role, that's just the icing on the cake. But I, you know, so often I've had people say, you know, I don't know if I want to audition for the show or not. I mean, it's not one of those shows that I've had my dream of doing. And it's like, well, then if you really don't want to be in the show, don't audition for the show. And you know, if you really can't put your whole support behind it and take whatever is offered to you, then maybe you shouldn't be auditioning right now. And you know, and Or do exactly what we said, which is, I will only take this role. And that way, if I don't get the role, I'm going to be disappointed, but I'm not going to be sitting backstage pulling the entire cast down
bad
because
mouthing
I'm upset
everything.
About the role that I got.
Yeah, that's no good either. But yeah, it's true. Don't audition if you're. It's community. It's a community putting on a show. It is not. It is not a club to support certain actors. I guess maybe is that.
Yeah,
that,
well,
right?
And that brings up something else that maybe we want to discuss at another time. But if you walk into, an audition and you see sitting there, people that have done leads and you know they're good and you know they're right and. Maybe you get discouraged immediately. Mm-hmm. You don't even try out when maybe you would have gotten it if you just, you know, had the courage to get up on the stage and audition for it.
In that situation, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you learn something about auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's nothing bad getting up on stage and not getting the part you want. Part, but the fact that, okay, suppose you do see a lot of people who are right for it. Watching them audition, which is the way we work anyway, people see each other audition, it's a learning process.
That's true.
There's not a darn thing wrong with that. And having the experience of auditioning, and if you get a smaller role, fine. I mean, and as a community theater too, we don't necessarily always give brand new untried people big roles unless we know a lot about them. I mean, it just depends on the audition, but we are careful about that.
Marcia's looking at me very funny right now because she knows that I'll just cast on an audition without a problem at all. So,
I keep telling him, I have a favorite story about a lady who was very active with Elkhart Civic when I first came here like 36 years ago, and she was a wonderful little actress. And she gave the worst auditions I've ever heard. It was like, oh my God, this is English. I can't read this, you know.
Yeah.
But put her on the stage and she would blow you away. And that's why I have to laugh at John when he says, well, they gave a really good audition. And I said, have you ever seen him do anything before? And if the answer is no, I think, well, you're taking a chance and I hope it works out. You know, it's 50-50. They'll be good or they'll be horrible.
Right. And
I don't know what the answer is, except, as he said, to put them in small parts first and then see whether they would have been capable or would be capable of handling a larger part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a lot of people that will come in and say they will take anything. And I think that's the attitude. Well, if you want to be a part of a production, yes, you don't have to be, you know, the lead or whatever. You can just be a part of the show and learn that way, and then maybe someday you will be a lead.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is if you come in and you don't get a lead and you think you're good enough to get a lead, but you don't get a lead, it may be because they don't know you that well. And all you have to do is prove yourself one time. And if you're not, and frankly, in community theater, we like people that are going to be there and then come back. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care how good you are. We've had people who have come back over and over again and not gotten parts because their auditions weren't good, etc. And then finally, somehow, they will break through on an audition and do a tremendous job. And we've had people that have started with little bitty roles and have grown tremendously.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, that's, you know, I think that's what community theater is about, is the growth process. And that's why it's such a nice little, you know, breeding ground. That sounds like a disease.
Yes, it does.
It's like breeding ground for people who have some talent that maybe haven't had a chance to use it yet.
Right.
So
if you're given a part that you just don't want, either decline it or say to yourself, I'm going to make this the best thing I can, and I'm going to learn from this, and hopefully the next time I'm going to get the role that I'm really shooting for.
And focus on the show, because the play's the thing. Right. That's it.
Oh, I wish I'd said that, David.
I wish I'd said that.
You know, I encourage people, if you know they come, what did I do wrong? What could I do better? And I'll tell them, you know, it's like, well, this time, you know, you're still coming in a little bit flat when you hit those upper notes, and we can't have that in a principal character, you know, or...
Although sometimes we do.
Or sometimes we do. you come across too quiet when you're auditioning, and you need to work on that aspect of it as you're auditioning, because, you know, it makes a big difference to me when I'm sitting out there trying to see who's going to be in the show, and I have this person who comes across, and they talk like this on the stage.
Yeah, we talked about that in the audition episodes. Loud makes up for a whole whole lot of other faults, frankly, as far as I'm concerned.
But, you know, so I encourage people to ask me those questions so that they can become stronger as well and maybe get the part that they're looking for the next time as well.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. You're going to have a lot of people auditioning for you at the top of their lungs, David.
I know. I bet not, because they don't ever get that message, some of them.
Well,
don't.
You know, and this is something that we're probably going to talk about at a later date, but people that have stage fright, to me, there's nothing more frightening than auditioning. Mm. Oh, scared to death. I mean, once you've gotten the part and you feel like people are sure you can do it, things get better, but man, stepping up on that stage and having to do stuff that is totally out of your comfort zone, to me, is like really, really difficult.
Yeah.
And scary.
Can be. Well, that's all the time we've got for today for this episode of Theater Geeks. By the way, if you have a pet peeve or a suggestion for actors or an idea for an upcoming episode, send it to us. Send it to us. You can send it to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com, or you can use our little form on the website and give us your suggestions and feedback. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shaw.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hey, don't forget, you can win yourself an official Theater Geeks hat if you come up with the best way to complete this famous phrase, there are no small parts, only small actors, except that what you fill in is the part where it says only small actors. Come up with something more clever. Send it to John, Dave, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com. Come up with something pithy, something profound, something funny, something humorous, something sad, something dramatic. But fill in the blank and win yourself a hat. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.